Welcome to Married to Who, a podcast where a couple of couples watch Doctor Who for the very first time. My name is Jake. With me are those couples, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex, and Terry. This week, we're going to talk about The Mind of Evil, written by Don Houghton, directed by Timothy Combe, aired the 30th of January through the 6th of March, 1971. Before we begin the podcast, it's time for everybody's favorite podcast segment, Cody's 60-second plot synopsis.
Okay, you fucking got everything in the kitchen and the dog slaps the wall on this one. I don't know who wrote it, but they're a little bit off base. There's a jail and there's a bomb. The jail people take over the jail. There's a mind of evil. Inside, there's a doctor who's under the control of the master, sort of, but not really, who's running the mind of evil. He's taking all the evil out of the prisoners and turning them into babies. And then the prison gets taken over. People get fucking murdered and dead. And then the doctor gets almost murdered and dead. And it was the master the whole time. He takes off his mask. Oh my God, look at the giant stogie. I'm going to steal a bomb. You're going to go free and be rich. Sure. The doctor's like, no, fuck you. We'd take back the prison, but you have the bomb. I'm going to give you this circuit and then you're gonna leave and we're gonna get our bomb. And they're like, fuck you, I'm gonna run over Barnum. And then boom, game over. I didn't miss a fucking thing.
Time. Pretty good. We'll find out as we go along what you may or may not have missed.
Nothing.
The whole
I already know.
First 30 seconds of that, I was like, did we watch the same?
What?
Did we watch the same one?
No. I got
babies, bombs.
Babies? What did I say, babies?
Didn't mention the World Peace Conference at all, which is like the first half of the story, and then just completely forgotten.
Literally, who gives a shit about that?
Hey, Terry.
Hey, what?
You're leading in this game we play where we all guess, well, you all guess, I looked it up, where this fell in a list of all classic Doctor Who episodes on the 50th Doctor Who magazine anniversary poll. Put those words in a different order and they all make sense. You're in the lead, so you will go first. Where on that list of 156 stories do you think this one has fallen?
50.
Alex, you are in second place. You will go next.
I was also going to say 50, but I'll go 52.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Sam, you are in the middle.
What?
What's your guess? You're surprised every week when I say that.
57.
Jill, you are in fourth.
You I don't think next. That's right. I was real close last week.
There's been 38 weeks. It takes a lot to move.
Same amount as Sam. Also, I think the worst should start first. Just saying. And I must say,
it's a punishment to go first.
66.
Cody, you are by far in last place. You may go next.
Post the stats. Post them on Twitter.
Agreed.
I don't believe you. Also, okay. We should sunset the game and restart the game. Just saying.
No, it's the only thing I'm winning in this whole podcast.
75, Jake. 75.
Okay, well, as per usual, Terry wins and Cody loses. It is 46.
Oh, four away.
I went the other way. I was going to go 45.
Four away is suspiciously close for like the eighth time. Terry's like, why? What would keep them from being suspicious?
Hey, I had a week where I was a good 100 away, so.
Yeah, that's to throw us off the trail. Mm-hmm. I'm watching you. SEC, it's this guy right over here. insider.
Hey, Terry.
What?
What'd you think of this one?
I really enjoyed it. There wasn't really any times where I was bored to death. but overall, like, storyline
went... Quite the standard.
Yeah, I know, right? The story was compelling. There was introductions of characters and deaths of characters really fast, so it was really nice not having to latch on to anyone until, like, fourth episode.
Commitment problems.
Right? But, no, overall, it was very engaging, and I loved all of it.
Jill, same question.
I mean, I always like a master story.
Yeah.
It was nice to get to know Joe a little bit more. I still, like, we talked about this a lot last time, so I won't dwell on it too much, but, like, I'm really over how much of an asshole the Doctor is. Those are my takeaways.
Cody?
The ending was a little bullshit. Could have been a two-parter, solid serial.
Alex?
So, I'm pretty sure most of the Pertwee stories we've done so far have been in the upper half of our little game.
Yep.
Which is why I went with 52. I didn't think it was that great. I'm kind of opposite of Terry. I found myself looking at my phone a lot and just bored of what's going on. Like, I was able to look up, like, every 5 minutes and maybe something's changed. Like, there's, like, a beat in the story, but I don't know. I wasn't vibing with this one.
I was listening to the Lazy Doctor Who podcast today, and one of the hosts of that podcast is also a host on the Verity podcast. And she said that one of their many rotating casts of hosts this entire season is their comfort season that they just watch over and over again.
Hmm.
So I expect this whole season to be good, but I don't remember what's coming up. Sam, what'd you think?
It's what I expect of Old Who. It's fine.
Do we get Pod Baby's reaction?
Man, he just wanted to watch the last serial. Can we watch the part where he wraps around the phone again? And then I was like, sure, started that, and he watched the rest of that episode and the next one.
Oh, he wanted to watch Terror of the Autons again.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't show him this part where they're shooting each other off of castle walls?
Was he watching with us? Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's lots of shooting in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like Star Wars, and maybe this was started in cinema by Doctor Who. There needs to be somebody falling from a platform. And I'm not talking about the Eldritch Scream or whatever. What is that called? That specific yell that he does.
Just talking about Wilhelm.
Wilhelm. Yeah. The Wilhelm scream. Just some dude falling off a platform. Always.
I think you can trace that back to the 20s.
Wasn't this made in the 20s?
This was in the 60s.
Mate.
Sam, you're on timeout.
This particular episode, it's been going on for a while. But now they're just doing it genuine every episode. Or just
a dig. Oh, that's funny.
What did you think of it, Jake?
Oh, thanks for asking, Terry.
You're welcome.
I loved it. I had a great time. I watched the first three yesterday and had to make myself stop because I wanted to watch the Behind the Sofa. This is the first season we've been to where, like, the Blu-ray box set is out. So I get to watch all the cool things like the Behind the Sofa and the Making Of's. And the Making Of, they actually made quite a long time ago. It had Nicholas Courtney in it. But it seemed like pretty close. Well, it also had Terrence Dix and Barry Letts. Both Barry Letts and Nicholas Courtney have passed. Terrence Dix has now too, but just recently. But yeah, I had a great time. I love the first three episodes in particular, setting everything up. We got the rocket, we got the prison, we got the peace conference. My favorite of all stories is, like, the beginning and the getting to figure out what the hell's going on. And this one had a particularly good beginning.
Yeah, they had non-British actors.
Holy smokes, hold the phone.
So that was actually a big deal, because we're going to see, even into the 80s, like white people playing Chinese people getting made up and it being wicked uncomfortable. But we do get actual Chinese people playing Chinese people, which was, it was so hard for them to find the woman that played Captain
Chin Li.
Tell me her name.
Chin Li.
Captain Chin Li. It was so hard to find an actor to play her that eventually someone was like, oh, hey, you know the writer? Yeah. Well, his wife's a Chinese actress. They're like, great. Is she hot? Yep. Sweet. Let's do that. And that would seem to be the only quality that anyone referenced about her. Just like, oh, that hot Chinese girl? Yep. Sweet.
Oh, yeah. In the script, she's like, yeah, he was accompanied by an attractive Chinese woman.
Rather good looking.
It's like, come on.
It's her one quality. Terry, before we get to this episode, you were gone last week. I believe it was medical tourism. You were visiting our friends to the south to get yourself a BBL. Did you happen to watch last week's story, and what'd you think of that?
I did not, unfortunately. Sorry.
Well, we all look forward to bathing suit season to see how your trip went.
Yep, sure.
Does he know what a BBL is?
I don't think so.
No.
Is it a BBL or a BDL?
BBL.
Oh.
BBL?
Yes.
I can only think of, like, the BBC, and I can't think of what a BBL would be.
You're not that far.
You know what it is, don't you?
A BBL?
Yeah.
Big Beautiful Lady.
Oh, no. Okay. All right.
No!
No, yeah, it's
that
not.
Is
not.
That is not. Definitely not it.
That's what it is. Don't Google it.
Does Alex know what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know because of Jason Kelsey?
No, I know because I'm on the internet constantly. Fuck.
I mean, this is getting cut out, right?
No, it's getting highlighted.
No. Okay, I'm not going to say my guess then.
I can't believe Cody doesn't know what it is. You know what it is.
Okay, I need to.
Cody for sure knows.
No, I don't know.
All right, guys, give me stuff.
I am innocent. Oh, you want stuff?
Was
fucking strapping. Hold on, wife. Okay, what the hell happened to the mind of evil in the end when it just decided it wanted to melt after it was wreaking havoc on all of the things in the world? What the hell was the scene when he ran over Burnham? You couldn't, like, make that, like, a little bit better with the straight, like, there was, like, 18 different super crazy cuts going on constantly. The teleportation sequences for this mind of evil with the weird wavy screen, I had to hold a bucket to not throw up. How are you going to put that on TV for people to watch? Holy smokes. The entire
I did have to look away.
No, save all shut up. Questions
can't
for
go
the
through
end.
The whole
no
episode
list.
In one tirade.
No list.
No list. Yeah, I did have to look away when it was like raging out of the doctor's little trap for it. That was
that's intense.
That was rough.
Yeah, that was a big
you
one.
Also didn't mention in your 75 seconds of whatever that it, like, the mind of evil is a Dalek, right? Like, did I read into that?
No,
it's not a Dalek.
No, it's not.
Is it a TARDIS?
He literally said exterminate.
No,
that was showing the doctor's greatest fears.
Quick,
yeah.
Everybody pile on him.
Yeah, Alex,
His brain, like the brain matter looking thing, looked exactly like a Dalek with the one eye. Like, it's literally a Dalek.
You don't know what a Dalek looks like because we haven't seen one yet.
We've seen one in New Who.
Well, this is a New Who. This is Classic Who. We haven't seen a Dalek
yet.
You're
saying it's a different universe?
Right.
I'm with you.
No, I'm saying in uni... they have not yet designed a Dalek, so this does not look like a Dalek.
Not true.
I don't
it
think
has
it's
like
a Dalek anyway.
The Daleks haven't been a thing
yet?
No,
it didn't.
Yes, they have.
No, we haven't seen
the inside.
And actually,
okay.
we've seen
Proceed.
Parts of it because...
Yeah, we saw like an arm one time.
Yeah. I think because the Doctor and the Master had like that little exchange. It's like, I know what's in there. He's like, yeah, it's a Dalek.
It's not a Dalek.
How do you know, Jake?
Well, the Daleks nowadays
the story.
they don't have that fear-inducing telepathy thing anymore. So
thank God
it can't
that.
Be a Dalek.
Is it a TARDIS? Well,
that was the machine. It was only powered by the thing.
It was the creature inside.
It was a creature.
Sounds like
a Dalek.
The Master explicitly does break down some of these things in the story. I think, like, they were talking about the creature, and the Master kind of... He says something about the creature that's inside that changed my mind. Because I thought it was a Dalek out the gate, too, because of, like, the cylinder, and then the dome top, and then, like, the eyeball thing. I was like, this is a fucking Dalek. But... I don't know. I would have to find that scene between the doctor and the master. But he's like, nope, it's just an alien.
To answer your initial question, why was it just melting? No fucking idea.
Thanks.
I was thinking it was melting just because of, like, for how evil the master is. Like, he's the epitome of evil thoughts, that he was just, like, super excited. So maybe that's why he was melting.
He did the Goku take all my power technique.
Using the machine as, like, a alternate to corporal punishment, it did work. So this is the 113th case of it working, and the first time in Britain. So, like, if the monster inside was just, like, cool with it being fed on a regular basis and didn't go nuts, we could have, like, really solved some problems in the world. Pretty much gotten rid of prisons altogether.
Just keep the prisoners coming. Why you put a halt on it?
Just lobotomize all the prisoners.
Fucking line them up.
Boom, boom, boom.
Prisoners, hysterical women. Lobotomize everyone.
Hysterical women. Oh, Jesus. Using the term hysterical in that context.
That was a joke referencing what lobotomies actually were used for at one point in our history.
Yeah, that's always something. Quaaludes.
Up until, like, the 80s,
right? Bring the Quaaludes back.
Bring the Quaaludes back. Make housewifing great again.
Hashtag quacky for Quaaludes.
Quacky for Quaaludes. Housewives want their lewds. This is not a family friendly podcast, and I'm so sorry.
Whatever happened to lewds? They don't talk about lewds in my presidency. We'd have lewds. I bring it back.
Actually, excellent.
I gotta take this phone call real quick. You guys just keep talking.
Yeah, sure. Okay. No, I got more. I got so much writing on my hand, it's all the way up to my elbow. It seems like the master utilizing, creating, facilitating this monster did nothing but cause him trouble for the entire thing. He didn't need the monster to take over the prison. He didn't need the monster for shit. He pretended to be this Emil Keller guy, created this therapy for what? To just make it so he could never leave the jail, in the potential that this is the only way to rally the prisoners in a riot, to take over the prison, at which he could eventually commit to them that they need to work for him to gain their freedom and money?
Role playing.
I was trying to figure out the master's plan. Like, his final plan was to blow up the embassy. Mm-hmm. So... why not just do that? Don't even go to the prison. Like, just go steal the rocket. You know where it is, and blow it up. Like,
the missile.
It was a weird plot. I think it might have been two different filler plots.
Like, he might have had a plan for the creature, and then it morphed into this missile thing when he heard about that. I think it was two separate things.
So also, he's just fucking around in a prison?
Yeah,
I think so.
Just doing mastery
stuff.
Like, he's
trying to figure out how he can slowly take over the world, and maybe creating a whole army of really evil people by condensing it all into one thing might be the thing to do.
I actually think he did try to make a machine that would take away evil intent, because if he has that, he can subdue the human population. Just make everyone nonviolent, and then he's the ruler.
Well, okay, on top of that, too, this whole, like, he was using Chin Li, like, remotely connected to the machine in order to induce fear and kill delegates.
Also, why kill delegates? Just blow them up with a rocket. Like, what?
Well, right. I mean, he heard about the rocket later on that it was being shipped. It's like, oh, that's a lot easier than sending one woman to kill off one person at a time.
Oh, was that a scene where I was looking away and he was like... listening in on the radios? Okay.
Yeah. But I think that's what it was he made, like, assassins essentially, out of using this little mind control thing.
Yeah,
which I think
weird.
Is super cool and frightening at the same time.
But then again, just put it in your basement. Like, why even go to the prison? Just put it in your basement and use it.
Well, he needs evil in order to make it work.
Can't oh, put it in he, your he was farming the prison for yeah. evil? Is that
Oh, no,
is that
he's
it?
Pretty evil.
Did it explicitly say that in the episode? Because if it didn't, that's not true.
Oh, all right. Well, what did they say? I don't know. I mean, why did they bring it to Britain? Is Britain more evil than where it was the first time?
Surely not.
Well, that's what happened to Barnum. Like, he must have been like a serial killer of some sort because it malfunctioned on him.
Barnum was nothing but nice. He was the nicest person ever.
Was he a murderer? Did he kill his family?
I would imagine.
Extremely violent.
Unless at that point the thing just got, like, hungry and was like, I'm just going to take everything because, like, he didn't even remember his name.
Mind
they said
of
they had
evil
never
hungy.
Seen the machine get that high before.
Yeah. So I think at that point, the machine...
what did, like, they say
that's
after?
When it got
they
away
said it malfunctioned,
from the master.
Yeah. What did they say after they completed Barnum's memory wipe?
It
depends on what way you look at it. He's either a saint or a...
Or a child, yeah.
Or simple. Yeah. Saint or simple.
Which... I really thought Kettering was going to be one of the main characters in this thing because he's fighting for the machine and then he dies, like the second person to die from this. It's like, oh, Jesus, like they're going through cast members real fast.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. I didn't buy it for this one.
Well, yeah. The doctor got some really cool character building, as always, where we see the fire. And, of course, we all know what the fire is because we are seasoned Whovians.
What is the fire?
Fire's a Pompeii.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Terry, what do you think it is, Terry?
I don't know. I've never seen that episode.
Well, the Time War hasn't happened yet.
Because it was a whole world that went up in flames. Is it not supposed to be Gallifrey?
I'm pretty sure the Time War hasn't happened yet, because that happens between Old Who and New Who. Like, that's
right.
The whole canon.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're assuming the Doctor is in line with the episodes as they're written. Who's
yes.
to say the third Doctor isn't actually
Everyone.
The 13th Doctor?
Ooh. They 13th haven't explicitly
the
said it in the script, so it's not true.
Just Sam interjecting.
There's no inferring anything.
There is, you can't infer something that hasn't been explicitly stated?
Nope.
You can, you're just wrong.
You guys are saying the same thing as when I left?
No,
we
did not move on at all. It's a recurring bit.
That's the only way to infer something, or else you're not inferring. You're understanding the statement.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to infer, is the thing. We can't take the clearly present evidence to state that the third Doctor is actually the 22nd Doctor. And the Time War has been. So that's exactly what I thought. I thought it was Gallifrey on fire. So that's not right.
Jake is like, what did I step into?
We're talking about the whole planet engulfed in flames for his first
year. Why is the Doctor afraid of fire?
It was a reference to Inferno. Him seeing an entire world destroyed by fire is still at top of his mind and something that is really, like, affecting him.
I suppose the parallel universe that exploded in flames.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot what episode
that
was.
No,
that
makes
was.
A lot
yeah.
of sense. And then he was afraid of the Daleks, and the Master is afraid of the Doctor.
Just his laugh, though.
just
laughing
poor,
at him.
Poor John Pertwee. Like, just a camera on him, be like, hey, can you just laugh maniacally for, like, I don't know, 45 minutes, and we'll just take bits and bobs.
Hell yeah. That was a cool effect that they had there. It was so much better than the teleport bullshit that they were trying. And also, they did the negatives on people dying from, you know, rainbow
but
ponies.
But just, like, sometimes.
Rainbow ponies?
when it was, like, the prisoners dying outside, there's, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't so consistent. Weird. And
yeah, but that's when the machine went on a rampage that he just went overload.
Wild is it that it could just teleport?
I liked the arc of the machine alien. It was really fun to watch.
It was an arc?
Yeah. It was docile and then it went crazy.
Yeah, the story arc of it.
Mm-hmm. I see. The doctor doesn't have the TARDIS, so he doesn't have the voice translation thing, so he's got to speak in natural languages. And it was very fun to see Pertwee at his attempt at that language.
So, the woman who played Captain, I want to say Chun-Li. I know that's not right.
Chun-Li.
Chun-Li. That's her native language. She taught him the words, but in the documentary, she's in it, the making of, and she goes, yeah, I watched it recently, and I have no idea what he's saying. it is not Chinese of any kind.
Oh, no.
But at least they tried.
Yeah, it's the trying. That I was absolutely convinced, but,
sure,
you know, it was just fun. A fun little thing. There was helicopters. There was missiles. There was a giant prison. There was tons of vehicles and action scenes.
There were more lists.
This was the wildest episode of Doctor Who I've ever seen.
Jake, you were gone when we talked about it. Why didn't the Master just go take the missile and blow up the embassy? Why is he fucking around in the prison? None of us know.
Well, he needed the prisoners to help him. So he needed to let them help them escape.
Help him with what?
And he needed a base of operations so that he could intercept the missile transfer.
He helped them escape. He gave them
the
gas
prisoners
grenades.
All went and got it. He can't do that by himself.
He could walk up and just say, give me it. And they'll be like, okay.
So at the end, when he has the missile and he's at like that hangar, there's a bunch of dudes with him. Those are actual military guys because that's an actual missile.
Oh,
so
God.
Like he had to have real dudes there.
What?
So they put in a line where he goes, oh, these are hired thugs dressed up to look like military. Well, why didn't you just do that?
Yeah.
Why didn't you just hire a bunch of thugs
the whole
and
plan,
go steal the missile?
I don't understand the Master's plan.
A real missile?
It's not the first time.
It was.
Why?
It was described as not primed.
It was elegantly concocted.
Jake, so I had said,
Harry,
in the conversation you were gone, that he uses the machine, like his main goal is to stop the peace convention, like so that way war will start and he can take over and stuff like that. He originally starts with the machine to have like assassinations in secret in order to start taking it down. But he hears about the missile and then he changes his plan to morph into that.
Plan B?
Yeah.
Sure. What I want to see is the like intricate plot of him using the machine on 112 Swedish prisoners over the course of years and like ingratiating himself into the medical science community and making this machine.
Starting to do research and
just, yeah, like producing like fake
peer-reviewed journals.
Yeah. Hey, there's no internet. He could just show up and be like, yeah, I have all these accolades. Look.
Hey,
yeah.
That still happens with the internet.
Serial killers could just move to a different state and be like, yeah, I'm a doctor.
I do have a question, though. How did the doctor get the piece of the Master's TARDIS? Was that in the last episode?
That's from last story. You didn't see.
All right.
Speaking of last story, we now, for the second story in a row, so Barry Letts is the producer of the show. He's what they used to call back then a progressive. He was also Muslim. And so that's why we get like actual Chinese actors playing Chinese people and stuff like that. However, we do for the second straight story, and we didn't mention it last podcast, and we should have, a black man who does not speak.
Is it the same dude?
Oof. In the last story, Terror of the Autons, that is the same dude as Tomb Aztecs, of the Cybermen.
Right? Oh.
Tomb of the Cybermen.
Tomb of the Cybermen, yeah.
Yeah, he is twice now just played a strong man who does not talk. And then here we get a black man who is the master's driver. And I really like those scenes because I like to imagine like how the master got all of this stuff. But again, just a black dude who doesn't talk for the second straight story.
Feels bad.
That being said, love the master's coat, love the cigar smoking, love like that he's just chilling in this big, awesome car and just like having people come to him to do meetings. He's like a loan shark in the fifth.
Yeah, he's got thug life energy.
The first scene where we see Chun-Li get into the car with the master, he's got like a 6-inch ash tower on that cigar. And yeah. I was concerned for his pants, man.
Was it him who was in the office and like pulled down the screen and had like the old projector?
Yes,
yeah. I don't know why that whole little scene of him like talking and setting up the projector was just like very nice. Great. I liked it.
Like the master's a fun.
The blocking for that, like these days, you got like someone with a jib move, or someone's moving a jib. Someone's got a steady cam on. You walk around, the camera will follow you. Back then, you gotta know your blocking. There is one camera capturing the scene. You can't go out of frame. You can't mess it up. You got your big monologue while you're doing all this stuff. Fucking crush it.
It was great.
Mm-hmm.
Cody, to go back to your giant ash on the end of a cigar. Roger Delgado absolutely hated smoking.
Oh, really?
And was so upset by the cigar, but the writer insisted.
Weird.
It looks so good on him.
I mean, they already did his hair and his goatee. Like, this dude looks like a villain. The cigar is just overkill. Give him an eye patch or a scar.
Yeah.
So, according to Katie Manning, between the hair and the goatee, one is real and one is not. What do you guys think?
Goatee isn't real.
Goatee is real. Hair is not.
Yeah. It's too perfect, and like that, yes. V isn't like a thing. You're bald if you have that V.
True.
However, Nicholas Courtney's mustache, fake.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, man, that's like a 3-minute stick on.
I mean,
sure.
In the alternate, he had a shaved lip, so.
Yeah, is that a
carryover? If you're playing a recurring character on a show, grow a fucking mustache.
Maybe he can't.
Can't grow hair, well, Jake. Way to rub it in.
So. In the documentary, he is now an old man, full mustache.
Does the Brig maintain a mustache the entire time?
As far as I know. There's some stories he's in that I haven't seen.
It's very interesting seeing that the doctor almost died.
Yeah, his heart stopped.
Yeah.
Like, he almost died like 5 times.
Well, no, like one of his hearts stopped. So it's like, I was hoping for like some sort of like regeneration trigger might have happened. Like, I know it's probably too early for that kind of
no
stuff.
No more Pertwee.
But
we still don't have regeneration as a concept.
Oh, all right.
I mean, it's something.
At this point, he is just
three doctors.
I thought that many times during this story where he could just be like, go ahead, shoot me. I'll just fucking regenerate. But we don't have regeneration yet. They won't even say the word until he changes into Tom Baker.
But you said concept, and the Time Lords, when they put him in exile, forced bodily change.
They forced him to change his face.
Yeah.
That's all they ever said, is we will force you to change your face, which doesn't mean anything.
It means he can change his face.
But it's nothing to do with, like, death or injury or anything.
Oh, is regeneration specific to death or injury? You need to be dying or injured to regenerate? Because I know the Time Lords, yes. Jake, and I know that's not true. You can't trick me. I'm a Doctor Who fan too, buddy.
What?
I'm bluffing him. Just wait. He knows.
Nope. Just waiting for an example.
Oh.
I wasn't
the
there.
Time Lords can do force regeneration. That they don't kill him. They don't hurt him.
How do you know?
because that's what it says in the fanfic.
Wasn't there a lady companion that was also a Time Lord that like changed four mm-hmm. times in her first episode or something?
Well, spoilers, but yes.
Boom.
What?
Boom.
Also, the master has transformed. I don't think necessarily because of injury or death.
You could. Yeah, the master dies every time.
Oh, okay.
But Alex, you could say that because multiple Time Lords have shown that in the early stages of their regeneration, they can like grow back limbs and stuff. So you could say that Romana 2 is just like trying. And she even says she's just trying on some new skins until she picks one.
She's just blasting herself until she's like, yeah, this is the one.
Yeah, she is off screen. She might just be. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Just so dark. And be like, oh, don't like this one.
Groundhog Day.
That one will actually be. I can't wait to get to that because it's a really interesting scene. And it's really just well, that actress doesn't work here anymore. And we got a different
oh,
one.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
We got this other one because Tom Baker's in love with her.
If Tom Baker wants it, Tom Baker gets it.
Oh, probably. Tom Baker
hey,
got
guys.
It.
We've had one quite recently, but this is one of the 11 stories where the TARDIS does not appear at all.
Isn't that like this
so
whole
far,
season?
So far, we've seen... No, it was in the last episode. So far, we've seen Mission of the Unknown. Well, we didn't see that, but it was one of them. Doctor Who and the Silurians, that's the most recent one. Midnight, The Lie of the Land, The Woman Who Fell to Earth. And Jodie had another one, Ascension of the Cybermen, and a couple more that we'll see in Classic as we continue.
So, Would you not say that the teleportation device for the Master's TARDIS wasn't a TARDIS? Like, it's part of it.
It was a dematerialization circuit.
Still part of it.
I don't think that the circuit constitutes a TARDIS.
I would argue it is the TARDIS.
But it's not the TARDIS. That's
well,
from the Master's TARDIS.
You can
TARDIS.
Argue all you want. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yay!
Is a blood cell a human being?
Hold on, Jake. Let him cook. Let him cook.
Terry has one pan.
Explain
he has
to
a
the
full
listeners.
Culinary set.
He's already talked 300% more than any other podcast we've ever done, so I might just scrap this whole thing.
God damn it.
The listeners
just
are going to get
tomorrow.
Attached to Terry, and it's just going to be the Terry cast between Jake and Terry, and we're going to have to rename it to Completely Unmarried, Two Old Male Friends, also known as Neither Time Nor the Space.
Free Wednesday nights again! Woo!
The Doctor's clothing, it's, I don't know if it's the film they used or the lighting of all of the sets and stuff like that, but I can't figure out what color his cape and velveteen suit is every time. Like, the first time I saw it, it was brown and purple. Then his cape turned to blue. Then his suit was a bright red. Then it's like, what the fuck is this going on? Like, everyone else stays the same.
His suit's a different color than his cape.
Yeah.
His cape's multicolored. But can I give you a fun fact?
Yes.
So we don't have the original film for this story. When they would make copies of it to send off to other countries so that they could air it, they used this machine that made a cinescope. It made 16 millimeter copies. And it was doing it by basically like recording the screen while it was being shown. And when you do that, the colors tend to bleed and get bad. And so there's a switch on it to change it to black and white. And out of all of like this era of Doctor Who, the engineers who use this machine remembered to flip it to black and white like 3 times ever. So episode 1, if you were to rewatch this, they did change it to black and white. And then it was, the other ones had really bad color that was bleeding it into everything. But because they had that color, there was a restoration team that was able to use computers to use the color that was in there as like a map to recolorize. And then there's a YouTuber called Stuart Humphreys who has a YouTube channel called Babble Color, who manually recolored episode 1. And so because of all those different technologies and different people doing the recolorization of all these, yeah, there's things are going to be different colors depending on when you're looking at them.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was like a chameleon on screen.
Let's talk about Katie Manning a little bit. She gets a whoops my ass. She takes care of the doctor.
She was a champ.
She gets shit done.
Yeah.
Babysits an invalid.
She got a story from the doctor. I'm trying to remember what, like, it was like a scene change where he started, where they were in the prison together and he was like tired and just started telling her a story.
Oh, who was he talking? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Either.
What story was that?
Yeah. She takes away a gun off a guy, basically stops the first attempt at taking over the prison single-handedly, and then with the doctor, attacks some more guards and gets an escape. She's just fucking rocks. And something that is increasingly rare in this era of Doctor Who, we have, besides Captain Chin-Li, we have another female speaking part. Terry, do you have the name of the other unit?
Corporal Bell.
We, for a very short amount of time, have a recurring character in Corporal Bell, another unit soldier to join Captain Yates and Sergeant Benton. She is in one more story, and that is it. her time with the unit does not last long. But not a whole lot of stories during this era where there are multiple speaking parts for women. And this story having three kind of helps it to stand out. Jill, you got any stuff?
Not really. I do have one thing. I mean, I said at the beginning, I just really like the Master a lot. Like, if I know it would be overdone if the Master was in every story, but he's so great. Like, he adds just such a great dynamic of just chaos and... I don't know. It's a lot of fun. It's like a whole extra villain on top of whatever we're dealing with.
There's a reason he's like the number one villain in Doctor Who.
He's good. I just love it. And like, kind of comparing, I guess, to like the new Who Masters, because like, how do you not? Because those are the Masters I know. Like, it's just fun to like know how the Master evolves and like, but it's the same idea throughout. And it's cool to see.
And we'll get a couple more Masters in Classic Who, but Delgado's the OG and he's so good.
I also like, I mean, there's potential that you probably know when we see him again, but I don't. So it's also sad, like, we got back-to-back serials with the Master, and now it's like, when might we see the Master again? It's sad to think that he might be gone, because it's just such a fun twist.
Yeah, he's got his TARDIS back, so bye-bye.
But he's coming back to destroy the world.
Yeah, but now when he hits, it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be like episode 4 and a 6 banger. And you'll be like, oh shit, it was the Master the whole time.
Yeah, I mean.
I really like the reveal of this. Like, I knew it was the Master, but it's episode 3, I think, before he shows up. And it's, is he just wearing a Roger Delgado mask?
Because
the
really
mask looks exactly like him.
It was unsettling. It was creepy. When he put it on the cat or the side table or whatever, I was like, oh, God.
Anyway, he's just out there working on that like communications box. It's just like, yeah, that's the Master, obviously.
It is like fun to have the potential, though. Like in New Who, anything that like goes a little bit weird, you're like, oh, the Master. And then you like, you know, then the reveal's always drawn out too. So like, it's exciting to think that like, there's that potential now in Classic. Yeah,
Mrs. Flood is the Master. Susan Twist is the Master.
Anyone could be.
I like that he does have that friendship still with the Doctor, that they'll like, they respect each other as scientists and will work together, even though it's clearly to like benefit the Master.
And this is the first time we get to see the two of them, like, sit down. Like, even in New Who, I don't know if we have a scene where the two just sit and chat. And, like, Pertwee walking up and pointing at the chair and being like, may I? And then the Master just, like, gesturing towards it and them sitting down and in the office and just having a little talk. We'd never get that. And it takes, like, this version of the Master, who's much less like frantic than all the other ones. Like he's much more just calm and serene, like batshit crazy, but just like chill.
Yeah.
So we all agree this is the best one ever. Sam finally loves Doctor Who. I got a few more fun facts before we move on. Or should we do tweets before we do the rest of the fun facts? Yeah, I think that's the order. You guys want to do tweets?
I'll do a tweet.
Tweet, 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 tweet.
Okay. James at JamesWith95 says, I remember liking the start and then being disappointed, but it's been a really long time since I've seen it. But I remember loving the Doctor and the Master in it. Apparently, I scored it 5 out of 10 when I last watched it. I think it's a little unfair. I'd give it an 8, but it deserves at least a 7.
Like 5 out of 10, and he liked it? Like, what's it like when he doesn't like it?
We don't know James's scoring system. Some people refuse to give out 10s. Some people are like, hey, 5 is like, means good. It just depends. Like, we'd have to see how he ranks every story to really know.
I mean, if you refuse to give out a 10, why even go out of 10 then, you know? You know what I mean?
It's for that unattainable, like, unicorn that you're waiting for.
What are they, Dave Portnoy with his fucking pizza?
Holy smokes.
Oh god, I cannot like block enough TikTok channels. Like the amount of people that just copy his pizza reviews and just make TikTok channels of his pizza reviews and be like, I have a TikTok show.
That's a solid 7-6. It's like, get out of here.
There's
okay,
never mind,
go ahead.
Not pertinent. Nope. That has nothing to do with Doctor Who.
I'll cut it out.
All the better.
Oh, there's some Italian dude that's constantly making pizza, and they're like wild pizzas. Like he'll make chicken takeout or like takeout lo mein pizza, and then
that sounds incredible.
It doesn't matter what pizza he makes at the end. He just has this funny like cutoff sequence where he's like, "I'd rate that 7 out of 10." It's just every single pizza is perpetually rated 7 out of 10. And I'm convinced he's just fucking dunking on Portnoy.
Okay, BBirdMoth at B_Bird_Moth says, loved it. Fun horror, mystery, political drama. Enjoyed the callback to Inferno, showing how it's affected the Doctor. And the Master's fear being the Doctor looking down on him and even laughing says a lot about the character, even up to today. Very campy, but surprisingly atmospheric.
Yeah,
I agree.
It's crazy how the Master, or maybe it's meta, it's how the Master is constantly coming to the Doctor and begging him for his assistance, only to talk to the Doctor into the end and then gloat? Like, bro, 2 episodes ago you were begging this guy for his help and now you're like, I am the Master and I have defeated you.
Always.
All right, speaking of agreeing, Holly Woodnot at H Woodnot says, I agree with BBirdMoth. Creepy and atmospheric in parts. Spent the day rewatching while getting some marking done. Must be a teacher. It was definitely too engrossing for that level of multitasking. Despite that, I will always hold that 6 parts is too many parts. Also, yes, where always is the Insta post? Yep, that was me. I didn't post on Insta.
I did not realize this was a 6-parter until I sat down. I was like, oh no.
Oh shoot.
They're all 4 or 6 for the next 2 seasons.
All right. Set up a recurring alarm for Jake to post on the Twitter.
Instagram. I say it out loud when we record these podcasts. You can just hear that and remember it. Oh, okay. They go on. Also, and again, I know you don't do it anymore, but favorite quote, not long ago, I saw an entire world consumed by fire. Once again, the subtle continuity and references to past serials just make me so happy in Classic Who. Finally, shout out to the Target novelization. The cover is perfectly vague, and Terrence Dix has never written an adaptation I don't enjoy. I posted that cover in our Discord so you guys can look at it. So for a lot of Doctor Who fans, before VHS and DVDs and all, like the home video came out and a lot of these episodes were found, the only way they could interact with the episodes was Target novelizations. And Terrence Dix wrote a ton of them. And I've never read one, but like a true Doctor Who fan, I own like 20 of them. And one day I'll read them.
Are these valued?
No.
All right.
I mean, they're valued by fans. They're not, there's enough of them out there that they're not worth money.
Well, I have a grade 8, 7.6 Doctor Who Mind of Evil First Edition, number 96. And it's $2. $7.60.
All right. I have a few more fun facts before we wrap this up. The 36th Heavy Air Defense Regiment out of Horseshoe Barracks in Essex loaned them the missile and a number of troops. They also got 8 Marines to use during the Dover Castle sequences. The prison was shot at Dover Castle. They all go there for the making of documentary. Very slowly walking up these very steep walkways in their very elderly ages. I felt bad for them.
That is like an insane thing. There is a requisition from the BBC to the military to borrow a missile. Like, that's crazy.
The military and Doctor Who had a very good relationship. They helped out a lot.
So crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like a recruiting tool. You see all these military dudes in the episode running around doing cool shit. That being said, they were way over budget on this one. There's a story from Terrence Dix where the writer's like, I really think we need a helicopter. And he goes, so I said, yes, I would have to find the money. Barry Letts does. And the director, Timothy Combe, this is like his third. He had been involved with Doctor Who since the beginning in some capacity. And now he was a young but well-regarded director. Because of the issues with the budget, which weren't all his fault, he never directed Doctor Who again. And in the making of documentary, to this day, about 15 years ago when they did the documentary, was very sad about it, and it was making him emotional.
Aw, poor guy.
In the original script, Jo was shown her true fear by the machine, and it was bats. So Jo is Batman.
Freaking bats.
Bat girl. Bat woman?
No.
Bat thing?
Hey, girls can be Batman.
Yeah.
During edits and rewrites, Terrence Dix noticed that the machine appeared to be acting on its own because of the things he kept taking out. So he decided to go with it and make it a living creature. It was not initially a living creature. That's a good script editor there, being like, oh man, I have caused this problem. I will now solve this problem by leaning into this problem. I like to look at the ratings, see how we're doing. Episode 1, 6.1 million viewers. Episode 2, 8.8 million.
Holy shit.
Episode 3, 7.5. Episode 4, 7.4. Episode 5, 7.6. Episode 6, 7.3. So yeah, some of that first episode, huge jump. Episode 2, maybe there was like a hurricane or something. I don't know. And then we're kind of falling right into that like 7.5 million average, which is great. I didn't look up what story is next.
It is.
Woo!
Shut your mouth.
Okay.
I say it.
The Terry. Claws of.
Oh no!
Hold on, I'm gonna go with terror.
Nope.
Nope.
Good guess though.
Oops! I scrolled too far. I'm in the 80s.
Starts with an A.
I know what you're trying to say. I'm just looking it up to make sure you're correct.
Asses?
BBL.
Oh, he knows.
I looked it up, yes.
Okay, it is. Four next time. It's a four-parter. Cheers. Hurrahs. Applause.
I'm contained with joy.
The Claws of Axos. Axos, AXOS. I remember nothing about this one, so let's see if it's any good.
Hell yeah. Probably going to be rated around like a 54.
Are you calling it before you watch it?
I'm going to call it before I watch it.
Is that exactly what this one was?
No, it was 46.
Yeah. Hey, Alex, who's your MVP?
I'm gonna go. Hey, I'm gonna give it to the director since he didn't get another crack. I felt he did pretty good.
Timothy Combe. Combe or Combe? One of those. C-O-M-B-E.
God damn it.
Oh boy.
Boo. All right.
Jill, you answer so that you can mute Alex's microphone.
I don't have the ability, but Delgado.
Just start pulling cords.
I probably should.
Terry.
John Pertwee.
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 Sam. Mm.
The doctor.
Cody.
Who played Captain Yates?
Richard Franklin.
Well, not him. Just kidding.
Richard Franklin.
Oh, man. Before we move on, Sergeant Benton just constantly getting shit on by the Brigadier.
Yeah. So good.
Like, he doesn't know why, but he passes out while he's tailing Captain Chinley. And the Brig's just like, for real, dude? You're just walking through town and you passed out? And then he gets bodied when he's in the truck with the, you know, trying to transport the missile. And then the Brig's like, hey, you get to be the acting governor. And he's like, hey, bring it down a notch. Oh, so good. My MVP, I'm going to go with the writer, Don Houghton. He... just hearing like the process of the writing, like we didn't really get too much into it, but you know, mind control was a really big thing at this point in the 70s in like fiction, and he wanted to do something with mind control, and then came up with the idea of like, oh, what if it could take all the evil out of someone instead of corporal punishment? And then from there they're like, well, then it should take place in a prison. And then he basically got a 4-episode story, and so Terrence Dix was like, well, what if we do this world peace conference to take up 2 episodes? And just that process of like, here's a tiny idea, and just like making stuff happen and hearing how that all works is always interesting to me. And it seemed like this one was a very natural, fluid process, and I just really liked the story as a whole. Anyone got anything else? Nope. Okay. Alex, do the song. This has been Married to Who, our episode on Mind of Evil. If you'd like to participate with us, you can do so on Twitter at Married to Who Pod. You can do so on Instagram, Married to Who. You can visit our website, marriedwho.com. On behalf of myself, Jake, Cody, Sam, Jill, Alex, and that BBL love and terror.
Oh, dear.
Thank you so much for listening. Please join us next time for The Claws of Axos. Be-do-do.